Hey listeners, this episode contains discussions on sensitive topics that may be difficult to hear and may not be suitable for young ears. Check our show notes for more specific details of what is covered in this episode. Take care of yourself.
Welcome to the Parents Place podcast with Hillary and Jen.
Welcome to the Parents Place podcast. We've got Jen as our host and then Nicole as a co-host today. And we're here with Matt Kennison, and he's going to tell us his story of resilience on adoption. And yeah, we're excited that you're here today with us, Matt.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Well, Matt, do you want to tell us a little bit about your story? Give us a little overview.
Yeah, so I was adopted when I was 2 weeks old in Colorado, and one of the lucky ones to be adopted quickly. And I was a closed adoption, so I didn't know my parents, didn't know anything about them. I think the only thing I knew growing up was that they were young, and that was one of the reasons I was put up for adoption, was they did not feel that they were in a good place to raise me. And so they put me up for adoption in hopes that someone in a better situation would take me. Fast forward many years, probably when I was about 21, I really started searching for them. I was told when I turned 18 that I would be sent information that would allow me to find them, and was never sent that. I was adopted through the LDS Adoption Agency, which closed about 2010-ish. And so I wasn't able to find anyone that worked there to find my family. And my adopted family, they're fantastic. I've got one sister who's their biological daughter, and then my dad had testicular cancer and wasn't able to have any kids. And so he survived that and was able to raise his family, but his dreams of having a big family were gone. He did want a son, so they adopted me. I carried on the family name, etc. But I still wanted to know where I was from. And I had tried every possible thing I could think of, and it never panned out. And then in 2016, Denver changed their laws, or Colorado in general, that I could apply for my original birth certificate. And I sat on that for a good 6 months because I was so nervous that it was going to be another dead end. And eventually it was like $45. Like, it wasn't a huge cost or anything. It was just, I was nervous. So I got my certificate. I'm married. I had a kid. And my wife was just like, hey, if this is a dead end, it's a dead end. Like, we'll figure something out. Don't worry. Like, don't lose hope. And I pulled out the birth certificate, and I still remember it said my parents' name, Michael Wallace, born August 31st, 1970, and my mom, Jennifer Ann Aspinall, born March 1st, 1972. And so that was all the information, names, birth dates. I was excited. This is going to be awesome. Hopped on social media and just started searching for everyone with that name. My birth mom had married, so her name had changed, but I found her and messaged her and then waited for like a week. And I remember I was at Chili's in Orem, Utah with my parents, my adopted family. I always call them mom and dad, but I was there at the restaurant with them. Just whenever we'd go out to eat, we would just call them, hey, you guys want to come with us? And we would just go out to eat. And right as I was sitting in that booth, I got a message on Facebook Messenger from my birth mom saying, yes, I am that person. I had a baby boy. And I had asked her, I said, I need to know your birthday so that I know that you're the right person. And she told me her birthday, March 1st, 1972. I was like, that's my mom. And it blew my mind that I found her. And my mom, my adopted mom, was in tears just sitting there. And their approach to this, because I was really nervous about it, but their approach to this was, I had grown up and become at least a decent human being in my eyes. And yeah, they wanted my family to know that. Because I had the question of, who are my parents? And I had the joy of a childhood of being like, they can be whoever I want them to be. Like, my dad invented Nutella, I think I told someone. And he was too busy with that business that, you know, I just made stuff up because I had no idea. Yeah. And actually knowing was a great thing, but it also still left this, like, now I know. And it is what it is. I take that as a grain of salt. It did take several weeks to find my father, and it was because he had passed away several years before. I did find his brother, and I had that wonderful conversation of calling my uncle out of the blue of, hey, I am your brother's son, your long-lost brother's son. And I remember he was, like, fixing his water heater or something. Like, he was, like, in the process of doing something at his house. And he was like, can I call you back? Because my father took his own life. And so he now has to have this conversation with me of, your dad's not here anymore. And so I just told him, I said, Uncle Chris, I know what happened. I know the gist of it. I would just love to connect with you whenever you're available. No rush. I know this is a lot, but thank you for at least answering the phone call.
Yeah. But he was aware that you were out there,
that you
existed. That's still questionable because my dad was very private about it. I don't know the full reason. I understand. I mean, to kind of continue the story to the point to where I found out more is, I drove out there in January with my wife and my kid and battled the snowstorms through January going through those canyons, but were able to meet them. And my mom had remarried, had a daughter, and she was actually in the hospital having her baby when I met my birth mom. So it was like this crazy, birth mom told me, she's like, we need to stop meeting in hospitals, because the last time she had seen me was in a hospital, and then I meet her there. But I was also able to meet my uncle, and he was kind enough to meet us at a restaurant and chat with us. I then went out again, and he invited my dad's friends, and we sat in their backyard, and they just told me stories about him for several, and I cannot thank him enough for how kind that was and how hard it must have been for them, because some of his friends did not know that I was even alive. Yeah. They didn't know that he had a son. And their friend who took his own life, they now have this piece of him. And so I had people coming up and hugging me and embracing me because I look a lot like my dad. Granted, really? I have facial hair and I had hair like past my shoulders, but it was, they could see his resemblance in me, and they were hugging me and just in tears with it. And it was just one of those, I don't know who you are, but I'd love to get to know why my dad means so much to you. And so that's kind of the story, but there is that question of who knew I existed and who didn't. And for a lot of the people in his life, they didn't. He was 19 years old. My mom was 17 years old when I was born, and almost 17, but he was working at a diner as a dishwasher, and she was working at Taco Bell, which I've eaten at Taco Bell once in my life. Which was like
only once, like
just once.
Oh, and I think it was
because my mom worked there when she was pregnant with me as a teenager and probably just ate all the time.
Oh, I'm sure.
But I don't know. It's never sounded good to me, but.
I'll take you sometime.
No, it's all good. I've been there once. I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago. I went and I was like, why? Like, there's better food. There's better food out there.
Yes, there is better food. I digress, but I will digress.
She's going to
there is a place for Taco Bell. There is a place.
Good to know. Good to know. I missed that part of my college experience of Taco Bell. Yeah.
I have so many questions, Matt.
But, okay, bring them on.
Okay, so my first question is, when you decided to start searching, how did you talk to your adoptive parents about that? What was their thought process on that? Like, how did you all cope through that?
So, yeah, with that, I also get the question of, like, when did I know? And they've always been very open about it. It's never been a secret. And so I knew that they were open to talking about it. I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I served a mission for them. And when I was getting ready for my mission and preparing, I remember having a lot of questions about my birth family and, hey, who are they? What do you know? And both my parents sent me a long letter of, here's everything we know. And it was just more that my mom was a very happy teenager. She was a good person, like easy to get along with. And she was wanting the best life for me. But there wasn't a lot of information. I did get some non-identifying information, but any time I reached out to them, they were willing to help direct me, but they didn't have any information. And so I didn't feel bad or hesitant to reach out to them. They've been open with it. They've been wanting to help. They just expressed, we don't know where to go. You can try these places. I did get, when I was about 22, some non-identifying information about my parents, which I gave to my mom when I met her. And she was like, that's not right. That's not right. That's not right. But because it was like, my mom enjoyed recycling back in, you know, like 1990. I was like, she's like, I didn't care about that when I was a teenager, but I do now. Like, okay. But it said that she was a cat person. She had brown hair, and my dad was 6'4", and, you know, just different things like that. But it wasn't extremely accurate. So, but my parents were both very helpful. Just kind of felt bad that they didn't have more information.
Right. So you said that, sorry, Jen, you said that when you got that message, when you were all out to eat, I don't remember where you said, but you got the message and your mom started crying. Mm-hmm. What was that like? Like, why did she ever expound on that?
So, and I don't know the movie, but there was a movie about an Indian boy that was adopted, and she had recently seen it, and the word she used was, we want your family to see how beautiful you are. And I looked at her and said, that's a very odd term to use for a boy. But I understand what she meant, is like, for them, when they looked at adoption, a lot of my family that I was adopted into kind of said, you never know what you're going to get. Who knows what his parents are like? Who knows what he's going to be like? He could have these like crazy bad tendencies. Who knows? And even growing up, they're very intelligent people. I'm very, what I say, street smart. Like, I'm an extrovert. I love to talk to people. They're very intellectual. So there was a difference in personalities. Who knows what they're going to get? And I think, you know, growing up, trying to be the best version of myself I can be, getting married, my wife's an incredible person, and my parents adore her, which says a lot for a lot of the girls I dated. They're incredible people, but they just weren't right for me, and it didn't work. And so when my parents met her and they saw me and I had a son, it was just like, you've created this wonderful life for yourself. We want them to see that. And the best way that she could explain it was just like, you've become this person that we're proud of. We want them to be proud of you as well. So.
What do you think there would be? I'm just thinking, there's got to be a part of her that wanted to say, I took care of your son, and we did the best that we could do. And yes, now look at what a great human being your son has become. And so I do think that there was probably some of that of, I just want you to know, rest assured that we did the very best that we could for him. Yeah. Because I'm sure lots of adoptions go in and it may not be the best situation that baby was put into. But I mean, that's what I would want.
Well, I 100% agree. And I think it meant a lot to me because my mom and I have never had a great relationship. It was very rocky, and she helped me with math homework. I mean, starting with that, it wasn't going to be great. Tears. With that foundation. Yeah. I mean, it was, and for her, it was, this is how it makes sense to me, but it wouldn't click that way in my brain. And I love math. Like, I use it all the time. I tell my kids how useful it is, but I had to learn it in such a different way that didn't make sense to her, that it was just like, there are things like writing, for example. I write how I speak, and that always bothered my mom. Mm-hmm. But my dad was a little more understanding of that. Like, he's just a little unique, and that's so it was, we kind of had that rocky relationship growing up. I remember my dad sitting me down and saying, you know what? You are adopted. You're going to have different likes and dislikes, but I bet if you're willing to work on it, we can find some common similarities. And he's like, I will put in the work if you will. And so we just did activities for a while. And hiking and photography are the two things that we both latched onto. And we do, to this day, we go on hikes. Timpanogos, we've hiked many, many times together. And it's just something we enjoy doing together. My mom and I didn't really have that common thing to latch onto. I think marrying my wife and her being how she is, my mom and her get along very great. So it's helped our relationship a lot. But hearing from my mom that I've turned out to be a good person, or at least I'm trying to be, meant a lot to me at that point, because it was like, you know, I know what we've gone through. I know I've thrown a math book across the room and screamed and yelled and gone to my room when I was a kid because I had it. And yeah. I can't imagine what she went through in those moments of what kind of person is this guy going to be? And turning out to be okay, I think, was just a relief for her. But
I think that can be said about like having biological kids. Like,
100%,
you know, I 100%. Was just told the other day, you're not the boss of me. And I'm like, I think I am, but it sounds like your parents had really good strategies. Like you talking about like finding similarities. We're not going to have everything in common with the people that, you know, share our blood even, but yeah, like taking that time and, you know, going through all these activities that we can do and like, what do we agree on? What do we both like? That's something that can be said for like all of parenting and
agreed,
everyone really, like we've got more in common than we do not. So,
yep,
you know, I think it sounds like you got some pretty awesome parents.
Oh, they're incredible. I can't speak to that enough. And like, I have three kids now, and like what you said completely resonates with me, because growing up, every difference I had, I accredited being adopted. It's like, oh, you don't like this music? It's because I'm adopted. You don't like this food? It's because I'm adopted. But now my kids are raised off of chicken nuggets and mac and cheese. And it's right, like, you know, their music tastes a little different. And like those similarities exist, but the differences aren't because of blood. It's just because right, of personalities. And that's okay. Yeah. Or even genders, like how yeah, people are. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
I just got the movie. It's Kite Runner.
Kite Runner. Okay.
Oh.
All right. Good to know.
It's a good movie.
I haven't seen that one. I saw August Rush, but that one was hard to get through because he meets his parents and I hadn't yet. And I was like, I can't watch this because I want that in my life. And yeah.
Too close. So I'm wondering what, if any, relationship exists between you and your birth mom or any family?
So my birth mom, yes, I mean, we chat. I think the only real interaction we have is we send each other sunset pictures and sun. I go running in the morning, so I'll send her sunrise pictures sometimes. Living in a valley, mountains on both sides, I get some nice, you know, one of those, but not a lot of that. I wish there was more. I've expressed that to my uncle as well in, you know, what would I do if I were to meet a child that I gave up for adoption? I would want to get to know them a lot. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the reasoning. I don't know if it's some kind of, I've moved on and, you know, she has a husband now. She's gotten remarried again, but I don't know what the situation is. I have a half brother through my mom and I have a half sister, and I've never met my brother. But my sister, I went out when she got married in Colorado, met her husband. He's a great guy. They had a son. They've been out here. We went to a concert together, but not a lot of interaction. It's kind of like she's my sister, but we don't have any of that childhood, those childhood memories together.
Right.
With my uncle, I remember his wife actually said, why would I ever want to go to Utah? Like, because it's gorgeous. Like, if
yeah,
you like the outdoor, you guys have a camper trailer, there's canyons right next to, like, it's a gorgeous area. But I've been out to Denver a couple times and chatted with them. My cousin out there, Melanie, has been a really good friend. She's been out here multiple times. She was just younger in her 20s, but has gotten to know my kids, has gotten to know my wife, has stayed at our house several times. She's been really the only person in my biological family that's really put the effort in. And I can't thank her enough for that. But she has memories of my dad as well, of Uncle Mike for her, and things that he would do. And she would tell me stories about him and stuff. And it was just, it's been really nice to have that connection with her.
Yeah.
But I haven't had any really relationship with my family. And I've expressed that to them. And if you're willing, I would love to get to know you guys more. But I understand if you kind of don't feel the need. But it is a part of me I wish I could have more of, because I would love to get to know them more and talk to them. But I can't imagine how uncomfortable that is for you're missing someone in your life, and here someone is that reminds you so much of them, but at the same time doesn't. And it's just, but my uncle's reached out and said how much he loves being called Uncle Chris, because my dad didn't have any other kids. So he would have never called that by anyone in his family. And so anytime I talk to him, I say, "Hey, Uncle Chris, how you doing?" But yeah.
I'm just trying to think, like, put myself in her shoes of why I wouldn't want it, because she and I, number one, we share a first name and middle name together.
Yeah.
Jennifer and Lynn. I was born in 72. So trying to think, at 17 years old.
Friends. Yeah.
17 years old thinking, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But I don't know if I could. I don't know, my personality now, I would want to know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but being in, I mean, she's had a whole life of, and there may have been guilt in there.
There's a lot to her story. The little I know is it was not easy. I mean, she grew up, for what I understand, mostly without a dad. And her and her sister, I actually reached out to her sister a week before, and she never replied, saying, "Yeah, that might be my sister." And so it was kind of a weird, why didn't your sister tell you that your son reached out? Like, that was kind of a weird dynamic for me to understand. But, and she kind of was like, "Seriously, like, why wouldn't you tell me that, like, my son reached out?" But she had a unique experience of when I was given up for adoption. She had another son 2 years later with another man. She was actually dating another man when she found out she was pregnant with Mike's son. So that was a fun situation for her. But long story short, essentially the other man that she was dating, when she found out she was pregnant again, his family got very involved in being like, "You're going to give away this boy," because she's done it before. And so they use that in the courts as like a something to get custody of my brother. And so they were given custody over my mom because of me being given up for adoption prior. And so, I mean, it's a weird scenario, and I don't know the other side of the story. I've only heard her side of the story. And, you know, 2 years later, from when I was born, she's now in the situation and then loses that boy. I don't know what that does to a person, especially, you know, 19, 20 years old at that time. That would be very difficult. And then when she had my sister, she was married, living in Germany, because her husband at the time was in the military, and she raised that daughter. And she raised her very closely and spent a lot of time with her. I think she wasn't able to spend time with me or my brother. So I don't know. I could speculate all day, but I honestly don't.
That sounds like she had a lot of trauma, and we know trauma can stunt a lot of emotional growth. So,
yeah.
You know, that's my speculation is, you know, 17. Wow. I know I wasn't in a great place at 17. So,
yeah. It's hard.
Does she have a relationship with your brother?
So, interestingly enough, before I reached out to them, like maybe a year before. It was pretty recent. He had connected with her, and according to them, he had been told all these stories about how horrible my mom was. She was a terrible person. Don't get to know her, whatever. He reached out and got to know her and was like, no, she's a good person. Like, she's got her life together. She had been married for a while to Richard. He was a great guy, and they had a home in Colorado. They had made it a beautiful home. They had spent some time together, developed some hobbies. And so my brother Jeffrey was kind of like taken aback by, I've been told my whole life that my mom's this terrible person, but she's kind of got her life put together. Whereas me growing up, I was told that my parents loved me and wanted a better life for me. And so just that different mentality that I have towards my birth family and was completely different. But my sister, Kayla, actually went to live with him in Ohio for a while. And while she was out there, she got mixed in some bad stuff and my mom had to go get her. And so then soon after that, I reach out. And I remember her husband at the time was like, oh, round two, here we go. We're going to meet a crazy one of your sons or something. And my dad's family kind of had the same thing of like, let's meet what kind of worthless piece of junk Mike's son turned out to be. Because, I mean, it was just like a hard life that he lived. He came from a rough situation. And this is from his brother of kind of things that they dealt with. And I think when they met me, they were surprised. I mean, I'm not an incredible person. I try to have my life together as much as I can. I try to do good things. I try to do the best. At the time when I went out there, they were like, okay, what do you do for work? I was like, I'm currently going to school. I'm working a full-time job and I have a family with two kids at the time. They were like, wait, so you don't have like any problems or like alcoholism? I'm like, I've never drank in my life. I've never touched alcohol. Just haven't wanted to. It's one of those things. And they were like, oh, okay. They couldn't find a flaw with me that they were proud of to make themselves feel better. And so it kind of felt awkward talking to some of my dad's family, extended family, and then my mom's husband. He was like, oh, well, okay, Matthew's kind of put together. We'll just let it go. But I don't know. So it was hard for her to develop a relationship with me because of that recent experience with Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, that makes sense.
So during this whole process, you have had to have a flood of emotions. And so how did you deal with that up and down? And how did you stay?
Yeah.
For lack of a better word, sane. I think for me, I would be going, I can't handle being rejected all of these times or a dead end or whatever. And now I found them. And then there's those emotions that come with it.
Yeah. The easiest answer would be my faith in general. I believe in our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. I also believe in an afterlife. I know that my dad hates the word dude. And I know after this life, I'm going to go up to him and say, what's up, dude? Like, that is just my goal. That is going to happen. And I believe for a good portion of my life that there's an afterlife. I do know that there's a greater purpose for us here, that we're not just here to live and die, just, you know, do whatever we want, that there's an overall plan in why we're here. Mm-hmm. And when I found out that my dad had taken his own life, I was on the phone with my birth mom. And I sent her a picture and I said, is this him? And it was his obituary, like just this thing written out. And she was like, yeah, that's him. And for me, finding out that he was gone, he was someone I never knew. Yeah. And yeah, that's hard. But like I said, my adopted family, my dad, I'm batting 1,000. He's an incredible person. David Kennison, like, kudos to you. He's incredible. And so I didn't have this gap in my life. Yes, I want to get to know him. Yes, it was still very hard because he is my birth dad. I look a lot like him. You know, I just having that desire to get to know who he was as a person and similarities there. But I really sat there like, you know what? Do I in fact believe in life after death? Because if I do, I can get through this. I know I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And my wife lost her mom when she was 9 years old. And so I was able to talk to her about just loss in general. And I was like, you know what? No, I do know there's life after this. And so that helped me cope with it. And I have family members, some of my, Mike's family, they don't believe in that. And they still, every time I go out there, we have a cry fest for an hour of them just missing Mike. And I'm like, I will see him again. I will. I'm gonna say, what's up, dude? Like, and I know that if there's any chance he can look at what's going on in life right now, he regrets it. And so I don't have to be mad at him for what he did, because I know that he regrets it. And whatever reason he did for taking his life, like, that's between him and his God. Like, he can deal with that. And it's not my room to judge him, but I can still love who he was when he was here and who he is now, and get to know his family and try to get to know them. So that's been the basis of kind of how I've gotten through it. But my wife has been a very big, impactful person on that as well, and helping me deal with it and cope with it. Cause I was very emotional when I got to know my mom for a bit, and then she kind of didn't chat at all. I got to know my sister, and then that kind of fell. I wanted to have a closer relationship. I'm a person that does not cut ties. Like, you guys know our mutual friend, Marlene. I've known her since high school, and we still chat. I don't say bye to people in my life easily, and I wanted to get to know them, and it just wasn't mutual. So it's, you know what? The day will come. If they ever want to, I'm here. I'm going to keep that connection open and still message them every once in a while. Hey, happy birthday. Hope you're doing well. Love you guys. Send them a picture, family updates, things like that. Yeah. But yeah.
That's a great outlook to have.
Yeah.
Great outlook.
I hope so. I try.
But I think what we've learned is it's been over a year now that we do these stories of resilience. And there's just that common thread that goes through all of them of either faith or not, or it's faith and a good support system that helps that person, you know, get through those hard times and come out on the other end and being really resilient. So I just love that that there's that common thread, that support is so, so important for us here and going through life.
Yeah, gotta have it.
Agreed.
What's questions? The greatest thing you've learned from all of this?
That's a good question. I mean, the greatest thing I've always tried to keep in mind is not to judge people. Like, be slow to judge and quick to love. And I mean, I think forgiving my dad, I think, was a big one for me. And I knew that if he knew I was trying to find him, he wouldn't have made that decision. Or at least I really hope. Because in my timeline, actually, he took his own life 3 months before I got married. And so it's just kind of that if I had met him and been like, hey, come to my wedding, come, you know, like, see this, take part in this pinnacle, you know, pivotal point in my life. Like, I know that he would have been there, just knowing the type of person he is. He would have hopped in a car and driven all the way from Colorado the night before if he had that opportunity. But doing that, and then just also forgiving people for not wanting what I want. Like, if I want a relationship to fill some gap in my life, that's not their job. That's not who they're there for. They can be there to love in whatever capacity they need to. My mom has since remarried, and I think that's kind of made her feel a little more distant of, I don't know her husband now. She's planned to come out here and kind of meet the family. She hasn't met one of our kids. She met my middle child when she was like 6 months old, and now she's 6 years old. But she hasn't met our youngest, who's 2.5. So it's just kind of forgiving, like, you know, I will love you for who you are. If you have shortcomings, in my opinion, that's between me and myself. I don't need to talk to you about that. I don't need to express that. I will mention, like, hey, we'd love to see you, but I could also hop in a car and drive to Oregon and see her. I get that, but
yeah, it sounds like you're just kind of meeting them where they are. Like,
yeah,
leaving that door open, because, you know, you're hopping into their life, and we don't always know, you know, we never know what people's lives look like. You know, we think we know, but so it sounds like you're doing a good job at meeting them where they are.
I'm trying to, yeah. And just keeping that invitation open of getting to know them. I'm an influential person, meaning I'm influenced by those around me. Mm-hmm. If I'm around my birth family, I tend to act more like them, mm-hmm. which I try to stick to my core beliefs. Like when I was out there, my uncle, all he wanted to do was share a beer with me. And I said, tell you what, I will drink this cup of water and you can pretend what you want, but I'm not going to drink any alcohol. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But that's a core belief I have that I'm not going to do, because I know I would love alcohol, and I know it would be such a slippery slope for me. It's not good. So, but I will share this moment with you. I will spend time with you and I will love you, but I still need to stick to who I am. And, I think my wife kind of struggles when I'm around them. You know, we're chatting, we're laughing, we're loud. I have a very dark sense of humor, which my sister also has. So when we met each other, she was out here, we were chatting. She was joking that she was like, my mom kept her. And I was like, well, just because I wasn't planned, she was trying to like better the recipe. Like we were just having these like horrible comments to each other, but laughing and enjoying it because we have such a sick, twisted sense of humor. And I remember my wife was sitting there just like, I don't know how to deal with this. Like how this is so
it's
horrible.
Like two mats.
Exactly. This is bad. And yeah. I was like, you know what? I guarantee when our three kids grow up, one of them is going to share my sense of humor and it's going to be a problem. But it's just, yeah, I think I would love to have more of a relationship with them. But I think for my health too, I do need to remember like who I've decided to be as a person and stick to the beliefs that I have and not be influenced just because I want to be loved by them.
Yeah. I'm sure you went into wanting to meet your biological family with questions, you know, things that you wanted to maybe observe or find out about the family. Did you get those answered?
Yes. My biggest question was if my mom's dad was bald, because I've heard that genetic thing.
You do have a nice head of hair. So
yeah, well, I just cut my hair. I had about 16 inches longer on it about a month ago. So I had a good chunk of locks, but she told me he kept his hair. So good. I'm hoping, but my wife says my hair's thinning. I'm like,
oh no,
I'll take what I can get. But yeah, it is what it is. The questions that I've had, and it's been really fun for the last, because I met them 6 years ago is when I met my birth family. I was 27. I'm 33 now. Nature versus nurture. Has been such a fascinating thing for me to just look at, especially because I have kids. So I can see some of that nature, and then I can look at my parents and me for the like that nurturing side, but then look at my birth family of the natural side. And it's been interesting to see like personalities. And actually recently I've realized my adopted mom, Bonnie Kennison, has this incredible ability to deal with difficulty with a smile. It is unmatched. We went to Southern Utah and hiked Zion's, the subway, which is rappelling and you're going through freezing cold water. And my mom is not this crazy in fit person. My dad loves to hike and he had told my mom about it. And she was like, I just want to do it. And the whole time, even though she was sore, she was tired, she was cold, she had a smile on her face. And I think that's something that I've learned from her. I've tried to emulate that. And I didn't really notice that until maybe a few months ago, even. And, you know, 33 years, I've taken that from my adopted mom. My birth mom's also a, you know, go through life with a smile on your face type person. But it's fun to see those similarities and those common things between the two groups. I don't have any big eye-opening talk to a psychologist about this meaning of something I found, but yeah, questions were just basically, who are you?
Yeah.
Where are you from? Like my dad, Michael Wallace, his family's from Scotland. I did a DNA test back in the day and found that I'm mostly from Ireland area. And I was born Craig Wallace, and then my foster mom named me Devin. So I digressed, in my opinion. And then I was adopted to Matthew Kennison. So
I like Matthew.
Yeah, I do too. It means gift from God, which is what my adopted family, that's how they felt about me, because it truly was a gift for them. And I try to be that gift now. But yeah.
My husband is descended from Wallaces from Scotland too. So
really?
We're related. Yep. Good so time. Maybe we're on the same, well, not me, but you and my husband are on the same family tree then.
Well, you're there too, since you're married. So
I guess that's true. I am adopted in.
So welcome to the Scottish tree.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Where's sunscreen?
I don't have that problem.
Okay, cool.
My husband, however, yes.
Yeah, he's a true Wallace then.
He is.
Well, Matt, I want to thank you so much for you coming and sharing your story with us. I know it's going to touch those out there that need to hear your message and see that there is resiliency on the other side if this is something that they're going through. So thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it. Yeah. And I feel like the last, what is it, almost 50 minutes, I feel like you're doing a great job of being a great person. So
thank you.
You're doing it.
You're doing it.
I'm trying. I have a wonderful mantra in life from Gordon B. Hinckley of life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Mm. And that is just, it sounds so cheesy, but honestly, when you're going through life and there's just hard times, it's just, you know what? I'm still here. I'm meant to enjoy something. And it's been really good to get to know where I'm from, to get to know those people and stuff. And, you know, the Denver Nuggets won the NBA Finals last year. I was able to reach out to my family and say, I know none of you are basketball fans, but congratulations for your state. And just still have that bond with knowing who they are and a little bit about them. So it's been great. And I'm grateful to them for it.
Well, thank you so much. And we want to thank our listeners for coming and listening today and taking some good little pieces of information. I want to remind you to be kind and patient with yourselves, and we will see you back here next week. Thank you for listening to the Parents Place podcast. If you would like to reach us, you can at parents@thefamilyplaceutah.org, or you can reach Jen on Facebook, jendaly-thefamilyplace. Please check out our show notes for any additional information. Our website is thefamilyplaceutah.org if you're interested in any of our upcoming virtual classes. We'd love to see you there.